From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 114 of Little Brother for the 7th of January, 2023. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. India have just joined the EU in requiring that portable electronic devices that receive power from a wall adapter must now use a USB-C charging port. The changeover, effective in March of 2025, will eliminate the lightning connector found on many Apple devices and the USB micro-B adapter found on many other devices in favor of the USB-C connector, putting the universal into universal serial bus. Hermenegildo Valdés Castro, a former software engineer at e-commerce company Zulily, has been arrested for an alleged scheme taken straight from the movie Office Space. Seriously. After his arrest, Valdés even went so far as to confess that he named the scheme after the movie. It seems as though Valdés had devised a scheme where some customers would be double billed for shipping and the excess proceeds deposited into an account where he could retrieve them. There is, however, no allegation of a red stapler being stolen. Quantum computing threatens to make modern-day encryption obsolete. Many currently available encryption algorithms work on a principle of making a reversal extremely work-intensive, such that any kind of brute force attack is not practical. However, if you think about the difference in computational power just in the last 4 or 5 decades, you realize that this approach has a limited shelf life. Quantum computing is poised to be the technology that disrupts this, and in response, a bill has passed into law in the U.S. called the Quantum Computing Cybersecurity Preparedness Act. The act recognizes the risks to cryptographic techniques and encourages research into better, stronger cryptographic techniques. It is worth noting that some existing cryptographic techniques are generally believed to be quantum-proof. Last week, I mentioned that an internal investigation at TikTok parent company ByteDance had revealed that employees were snooping into customer data without good reason. This week, news comes from China that the Communist Party there is investigating many of their tech giants looking for other cases of similar behavior. The industry ministry, try saying that 3 times fast, reports that 41 apps have thus far been found to be non-compliant with Chinese privacy rules. Given China's track record on privacy, I would call it a gross embarrassment to fail to live up to Chinese privacy rules. A group of 7 security researchers spread across 5 American universities have developed yet another technique that can be used to spy on you. The technique takes advantage of the motion sensors found in smartphones, sensors that usually require little to no privilege at the operating system level to access, combined with the larger, more powerful speakers found in recent model phones, to discern through the vibrations picked up by the motion sensors what is being discussed. While it is not possible to recover the full audio, the sensors lack the resolution to do that, word patterns can often be picked out from the patterns received by the sensors and discerned with accuracy ranging from 56 to 98%. Meanwhile, another security researcher, Matt Coons, has collected a bug bounty for discovering a bug in Google smart speakers that allows one to be turned into, well, a bug. The research involved a mixture of firmware analysis, firmware that Google tries but apparently failed in his case to keep concealed, and a web proxy being used as a man in the middle to read the device's traffic. In the end, he was able to find that just two HTTP requests sent to a Google Home device was enough to link the attacker's Google account to the victim's Google account, giving full access to the device. He speculated that a path to doing this might be to create a Trojan Android application that uses the trusting nature of a home LAN to discover such devices and issue the requests. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned this week. First up, we have the Hospital for Sick Children, which is the largest children's hospital in Canada. Sick Kids, as it is called for short, was ransomed by the Lockbit ransomware gang somewhere just before Christmas. By the start of this week, they had 60% of their systems restored to service. However, in an unexpected twist, the Lockbit gang posted an apology for the pwn, apparently taking after their victims in this case, and has offered the hospital a decryption key at no charge. Back in September, the Black Cat ransomware gang ransomed the systems of the Suffolk County seat on Long Island here in New York. Traffic lawyer Dave Kapp from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. That's the wrong law firm. Dave Kapp is from the law firm of Waxman & Beer and is advising folks on TikTok that the paperwork coming out of the Suffolk County Court is very often flawed since the pwn and is suggesting that you examine any such paperwork closely for technical errors that might warrant a dismissal. Web security researcher Sam Curry has reported on his blog that they have found vulnerabilities in many major brands of cars, 18 brands in all, from brands as common as Ford and as exotic as Rolls-Royce, that have given them the ability to do things such as remote unlocks, remote starts, account takeovers, remote code execution. It's pretty scary, and it's at times like this that I am grateful to be driving a 2009 Honda without any connectivity. Once again, I have a glut of stories on one topic, so I'm grouping together a cluster of big tech fails here. Twitter is being sued for not paying rent for their San Francisco office. Allegedly, they have neglected to pay their rent for several weeks and are currently approximately $140,000 in arrears. Next up is Meta, who have just been hammered in the EU with yet another fine, this time for 390 million euro, or about 414 million US dollars. The court's finding is that users were essentially forced to accept personalized advertisements, which of course they were, I mean that's how Facebook works, without an opportunity to opt out, and with the sole notification being buried deep in the terms and conditions. To be honest, I really wish the U.S. would step up like this. The terms and conditions of various services are insanely long documents for the least of things, and a normal human being actually lacks the capacity, and I'm not talking about the will, but the actual physical capacity, to read and absorb all of the things that they're agreeing to. Anyway. Meanwhile, a lawsuit against Google that had been dismissed by the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California has been revived by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth District. Now, before anybody goes and screams about double jeopardy, note that a dismissal is not a finding of innocence, and therefore this is valid. The case alleges that Google violates state privacy and consumer rights laws. The original dismissal had been on the grounds that federal law supersedes this cause of action. However, the Ninth District Court disagreed with that idea. That brings us to LastPass, who, as mentioned in other recent episodes, had their source code revealed to the world, and it is embarrassing how bad it is. An unnamed LastPass user has filed a class action lawsuit over the two data breaches that it incurred and claims loss of privacy and loss of cryptocurrency amounting to $53,000. Speaking of code repositories getting slicked from GitHub, that has now happened also to Slack. It'll come as no shock to anyone here that I advocate for open source solutions, but I do understand the drive to keep commercial code private. I'm personally wondering if the Slack code will result in any embarrassing revelations as did the LastPass code. On the other hand, while Slack may be used to transmit confidential data, it does not actually hold passwords for its users, so it may be less of an issue.
Thank you for calling the Very Big Corporation of America. Please listen carefully as our menu options changed 10 years ago. Former Crimson Permanent Assurance Company customers, please press 1. For hats, please press 2. For Worldwide Wine, press 3. For Vast Holdings Europe, please hang up and dial 011-44-1256-707-320. For Extortion Worldwide...
One moment, please.
Thank you for calling the administrative offices of the Very Big Corporation of America. Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line and a representative will be with you shortly. Thank you for continuing to hold. Your call will be answered in 2 minutes. Thank you.
Did you think you were actually going to get a person because the phone rang a moment ago? Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Your call will be answered in 3 minutes. Your call is important to us. That's why we're going to keep you on hold indefinitely so it can last forever. Your call will be answered in 4 minutes. We realize you're trying to squeeze this call in quickly during your lunchtime. Unfortunately, all of our representatives are also on lunch. Your call will be answered in 6 minutes. Don't you love the way the song stops just as it starts to get interesting and we keep cutting it back to the same point each time? Yeah, we love it too. We gave the guy a raise that came up with that. Your call will be answered in 8 minutes. There, we let it ring 3 times that time, just so you'd think somebody was actually going to answer the phone. Unfortunately, all of our staff have left for the day. Goodbye. As usual, we'll end this week's show with the fail of the week. This week's fail is a double feature.
You don't need me to tell you that Twitter has become something of a shit show as of late, but that's exactly what I'm gonna do. As most of you know, and the rest are about to find out, Twitter has been criticized in recent months for their failings under new management. One of the criticisms that has been leveled at them is that they have replaced the system of verified accounts that they had before with a pay-for-verification scheme in which a payment to the social media giant for the low, low price of $7.99 would secure the coveted blue checkmark. What could go wrong? Well, what went wrong is that a lot of people got verified and weren't who they were verified to be. Who'd have thought? Between then and now, Twitter have claimed a few times to have fixed this problem. Well, Washington Post columnist Jeffrey A. Fowler has news for them, and that news is that it is still broken. Fowler was able, it seems, to successfully persuade Twitter that he is Senator Ed Markey, and has been able to tweet in the guise of the Massachusetts Democrat as a way to test Twitter's verification. The tweet received 140,000 views and a thank you from the wife of another senator, all for the low, low price of $7.99. The other fail this week goes to an unnamed Tesla driver in Bamberg, Germany. It seems the unnamed driver has had his driver's license revoked after he put his Tesla on autopilot on the Autobahn and took a nap. In order to fool the car's safety interlocks into believing that the driver was there, awake and alert, he had attached a weight to the steering wheel so that the systems would feel resistance as though the driver's hands were on the wheel. Police attempted to pull the car over for reasons that were not disclosed and ended up following it for 15 minutes before they were able to wake the driver. Police have stated that they also believe he was under the influence of drugs. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Fungaboo, Thriller at Play, Ven, Azriel, Joe Cadillac, Chris C., and Julie Bernstein for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. The music from the Hold From Hell segment is Guitar Slinger by Jugger Liljedahl and Wisdom and Euphoria by Keith 303 and Radical Rhythms. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells them Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Sick Kids, as it is called for short, was ransomed by the Lockbit ransom. Sick Kids, as it is called. Dave Cap is from the Loft. Let's just start that over. The original dismissal had been on the grounds that federal law supersedes this case of action. The original dismissal had been on the grounds that federal law supersedes this cause of action. However, the Ninth Circuit Court. The music from the Hold From Hell segment is Guitar Slinger by Jugger Liljedahl and Wisdom and Euphoria by Keith 303.